Corrin checked his sensors and found three flight formed up around him. Wedge's one flight had the lead, and Jansen's two flight had swung slowly toward Disna, one of Corvus Minor's moons. Nerin Vakel's snoop scoot flew to the rear of two flight. Corrin stared up at the orange ball streaked with gray and shot through with lightning, fearing a vision of the pulsar station rising from the planet's misty depths. He saw nothing and tried to relax. Then Whistler hooted anxiously. Corrin glanced at his sensors. He keyed his comm unit. Lead, I have multiple contacts coming up out of Corvus Minor. Eyeballs, squints, and dupes. Enough for a squadron of each.
I copy. We've got contacts coming from Disna. Similar numbers.
Corrin's mouth went dry. Six squadrons. Colonel had deployed a full fighter wing against the rogues. The whole Pulsar Station lab was nothing more than bait to lure the rogues to this place and slaughter them. Corrin reached out and switched his comm unit to Three Flight's tactical channel.
Okay, rogues, this is how we do this.
Whistler, designate each of the incoming interceptors with a unique ID number and squirt three of them to each of us. We've got six proton torpedoes, and we use them to burn the squints, got it? They're likely to be a bit out in front of the others because they'll be wanting kills. He glanced at his monitor. Next wave will be the eyeballs. We blow through them and go after the dupes. We want to pull the eyeballs away from our exit vector so Wedge and the others can get out, got it? We mix it up with the dupes and create a lot of targets out there. Call for help when you need it, and let's slide them. Whistler beeped as the last 15 seconds to target scrolled down. Corrin dropped his aiming reticle over the distant form of an interceptor. As the box went red, he hit his trigger and launched a torpedo. Other proton torpedoes streaked out from Three Flight and headed toward the incoming ties. Two interceptors winked out of existence, but the rest boiled on undaunted. An explosion shook Corrin's X-Wing, and he immediately knew he was in serious trouble. One of the TIE bombers had nailed him with a concussion missile. He felt a weird vibration and heard a corresponding whine for a half second before an engine exploded. Debris shot out and peppered the starboard side of the fuselage. Whistler, are you okay back there? The droid blatted harshly.
No, I didn't think they would have gotten you.
Keep me informed if I have more missiles coming. I'm shifting power to shields now. A glance at his monitor showed the shields greening up nicely, which meant he could survive two or three more runs by a squint before it took him down. It wasn't much, but it was much better than being dead outright.
Whistler, give me a readout on the battle.
The data dump Whistler provided stunned Corrin. Three Flight had faced 36 ties. But that number had already been pared down to 21. Corrin had three confirmed kills, the same went for Uro, and Aniri had four. Aesir had accounted for five, and even as he studied the data, another one was toted up as a kill. Corrin ruddered the X-Wing around to find Aesir. Her X-Wing flashed through the dogfight with a pair of ties hot on her tail. She had the X-Wing dancing up and down and side to side, letting their lasers slash green bolts wide. Which was when her X-Wing collided with a dupe. At the speeds the two ships were traveling, there was no chance for avoidance. The shields in front of the X-Wing sparked as they hit the dupe first, crumpling the starboard solar panel. They drove it back against the ball cockpit and shattered the transparasteel viewport. At that point, the X-Wing's forward shield flashed opaquely, then imploded. The X-Wing's nose stabbed into the Duke's cockpit and lodged deeply. The slender fighter's nose snapped off about a meter in front of the cockpit. Unspent proton torpedoes spilled out as the aft end of the fighter tumbled up and away from the bomber. The broken imp craft continued its flight toward the gas giant, while the remains of Aesir's rapidly disintegrating X-Wing launched themselves up and away from the planet.
Aesir, do you copy?
Corrin dialed up the gain on his comm unit.
Aesir, repeat, do you copy?
He got no reply from her. But another message blared loud through his comm channel.
Rogues, interloper and stranger squadrons are friendlies. Don't make us defend ourselves.
What in the shadows of Coruscant? Corrin looked down at his main monitor. It showed a dozen new contacts, which appeared as red specks on his monitor, indicating they were using Imperial ID codes. He selected one of them as a target, and an image of the ship presented itself on his screen. The fighter had a TIE's ball cockpit and an interceptor's wings, but all in a very unusual configuration. The wings had been turned, so they canted out, not in as they did on the Interceptor. There were also three wings, one mounted above the cockpit. More important, the sensors indicated the ships were sporting shields and had enough power output to support hyperspace drives. Whoever the new arrivals were, they fell on the remains of Krennel's pilots with a vengeance. Within 5 minutes of their intervention, the fighters, which Corrin chose to designate as trips for their triple wings, had destroyed all of Krennel's forces. Rogue Squadron regrouped on the exit vector with Corrin's ship limping along. Wedge's voice filled the comm channel.
I appreciate the fact that you saved us, and I'm willing to accompany you out of here, but I can't leave without seeing to the pilots who are extravehicular. General Antilles, I understand your protest and have logged it.
Colonel Vessery, the commander of what had been identified as two squadrons of TIE defenders, spoke in strong, even tones.
We've made runs looking for survivors, but we find no traces. We have to leave now. Krennel will be sending reinforcements, and you're in no shape to survive another fight. 8 and 12, if you will tractor your charges, we can head home.
A little shudder ran through Corrin's fighter. A defender had latched onto his ship with a tractor beam, and would accelerate him to the appropriate speed to make the jump to light speed. He sat back and shivered. 3 Flight had lost Aesir, but the rest of the squadron lost 3 other pilots. Kajin Slee had been the first to die, followed by Lir Zatok, and then Wes Jansen. Corrin had a hard time believing Jansen was dead. But a concussion missile had blown the back off his fighter and left his body floating in space. Corrin punched up 1 Flight's tactical channel. Lead? Is it safe to be going with these guys?
I don't know, Nine. They invited us to travel. But they could compel it, too.
Wedge sighed.
Still, they came along at the right time to keep us alive. Whoever they work for doesn't want us dead.
Yet.
Good point, Nine.
Wedge grunted a chuckle out.
Let's hope we're in better shape to deal with them when they change their minds.
Prince Admiral Delac Krennel reveled in the pain evident on Mon Mothma's face. The New Republic's leader stood only 1.5 meters tall in Hollow, and the conference was being rebroadcast to him by Isard. But he could still see how much the woman ached as she spoke.
Pending further investigation, all I am willing to say is that Rogue Squadron was involved in a mission that resulted in an unforeseen set of circumstances. I know you all hope for the best for these brave fighters, and we will provide updates as information is forthcoming.
Mon Mothma's figure froze, and the holocam on the other side of the connection panned up to frame Isard's head and shoulders.
There you have it, Prince Admiral. Rogue Squadron is no more.
Krennel nodded slowly.
So, Isard, you do not find it disturbing that we have heard nothing from the fighters you had stationed at Disna?
Isard shrugged.
I would guess there were fewer survivors than either of us would care to imagine. While your hegemony troops have heart and a desire to protect their home worlds, their level of training is hardly up to Imperial standards.
Krennel rose from his command chair on the reckoning and stared out the viewport.
The loss of 6 squadrons of fighters is annoying, even if they did destroy Rogue Squadron. Replacing them will not be easy.
Your fighters or Rogue Squadron?
My fighters.
Isard smiled.
Actually, you will find that replacing them might not be so difficult. We have already begun to get inquiries. Careful, guarded inquiries. From a variety of groups who realize the Empire is waning and cannot bring themselves to support the warlords. Your battle against the New Republic seems to them to be the last chance to preserve life as they knew it.
Wedge Antilles was glad Colonel Vessery remained silent as they walked through the interloper's base. He lost 4 pilots in the Disna ambush.
Aesir's loss sent a chill through him. He liked her and admired how she had defied the Bothan hierarchy in continuing her membership in the squadron and her relationship with Gavin. Wes Jansen's death. Wedge couldn't even begin to think about it without feeling an invisible hand squeeze his heart. They'd been through everything together, since just after Yavin to when the squadron had been reformed. Vessery looked over at Wedge.
I don't wish to intrude on your thoughts, but I have something to say to you.
He paused before a door.
The person you'll meet in here is responsible for our arrival. Without orders originating from this office, Rogue Squadron would be dead. Try to remember that.
He waved Wedge into the room.
After you.
It took Wedge a moment to recognize who he was looking at. Then that realization threatened to drop him to his knees. He'd thought her dead at Thyfera. And even though the common prisoners had said they'd seen her, he'd refused to believe she lived. Until he saw her now. His eyes narrowed.
General Wedge Antilles reporting.
Isane Isard stood slowly behind her desk.
It is interesting that we have not met before, you and I. Having been foes for so long, I expected you to be taller.
I expected you to be dead.
She nodded.
Defiant. I like that. It makes you an interesting enemy and, I trust, a more interesting ally.
Wedge blinked. Me, an ally? After what you did with the prisoners on Kominor, leaving them to starve like that?
He turned to Colonel Vessery.
You can take me away from here now.
Isard raised her hand.
If you will indulge me, General, I will explain a great many things to you.
Isard leaned forward on her desk.
After I had taken control of Thyfera, and you began your campaign to oust me, I realized that if you succeeded, I wished to rob you of the goal you truly sought, the prisoners from my Lusankya. I decided to scatter them. This was a mission I felt I could entrust to no one. It was one I wanted to handle myself, but I was needed on Thyfera. What I did was activate a clone of myself. Lead her to believe she was me, and charge her with the task of scattering the Lusankya prisoners. When she returned to Thyfera with her task complete, I had her killed. So I thought.
Isard's face hardened.
Your assault on Thyfera meant the job was not completed and the clone survived. She spent the time during the Thrawn crisis gathering the Lusankya prisoners back up, and now has them ensconced on Kutrik.
Wedge shook his head.
Explain the prisoners on Kominor.
Bait for a trap.
Isard shook her head.
She wanted to lure Rogue Squadron to Disna so you could ambush, but she did a poor job of layering her clues into the site. Mirax Terek and Yellow Asiri returned to Kominor and discovered the clues she'd left there. But you were already in the hegemony and involved in the war against Krennel, so the Lusankya rescue became of secondary importance.
But we went to Disna because of the pulsar station problem.
Isard smiled.
Yes. And the lab you discovered on Elade 3 was one I had constructed there. I wanted you to go to Disna because I wanted Colonel Vessery to help you defeat Crannell's people. Without rendering that sort of direct aid to you, you never would believe that I could be your ally.
I don't believe it now.
Wedge's eyes became slits.
You could have sent an embassy to the New Republic if you sought an alliance.
She snorted a laugh.
They'd no more have believed it than you do. But you already know things that point to my sincerity.
Such as?
Such as my ability to build the lab on Lenadi 3. That means I have thoroughly compromised Krennel's security. How? My clone is using the procedures and codes I would have used. In the same way, I knew she wanted to ambush you at Disna, so I arranged for you to be saved. As far as the New Republic and Krennel are concerned, however, both forces wiped each other out. This means no one knows you're alive, which is something I also desired.
Wedge thought for a moment. Isard's point about having compromised Krennel's security was right, and she had sent Vessery and his people to spoil the clone's ambush.
Granted, Isard got us there too with the pulsar station decoy, but the clone's clues would have been found and led us there in any event.
Isard had put together an elaborate charade that had Rogue Squadron dead, and therefore she had an ulterior motive in mind.
"What is it you want, Isard?"
She sighed heavily and let her head slump forward.
"My battle with you and my ouster from Thyphera have shown me that the cause I held dear is dead. This does not mean I like the New Republic or consider it an improvement over the Empire. I just no longer have the will to oppose it. I want peace. I want to be left alone."
She opened her arms.
"After escaping Thyphera, I made my way to this place, one of many hidden facilities within the Empire. I realized that for us to be sanctioned by the New Republic, I would have to offer them a grand prize. I decided that prize would be Delac Krennel and his hegemony. And I decided Rogue Squadron would be the key to that operation."
Wedge frowned. "I don't understand."
"You will."
Isard smiled and touched a datapad on her desk. An image of a man with metal prosthesis covering the right side of his face burned to life in the middle of the room.
"You will recall your posing as Colonel Antarot?"
A trickle of ice ran through Wedge's guts. "I assumed the Rote identity when slipping into Coruscant to liberate it."
"I have taken the liberty of updating Rote's profile to reflect his being in charge of an experimental unit, 2 full flights of TIE Defenders. You are in the process of negotiating a deal with Krennel that will bring your force in as part of his troops. You are one of many Imperials offering their services to him. You will be able to slip into Kutrick and wreak havoc there."
Wedge ran a hand over his stubbly chin. "You'll give us Krennel to get the New Republic to leave you alone?"
"I do not expect public rehabilitation. Just a quiet retirement."
Isard smiled coldly.
"I also want my clone eliminated. One of me is enough."
"I heartily concur."
"I thought you might."
Isard raised her hands.
"You and your people will begin training in Defenders immediately. We will work up a plan of attack that will involve a New Republic fleet. When the attack is set, you will communicate with the New Republic to let them know when to strike."
Wedge felt a shiver run down his spine.
"I know I can't trust you, Isard. But I also know that if I don't go along with your plan, you can kill me and my people. I don't know what your plan is, but I know you have one, and that, for now, is enough."
He nodded slowly.
"I hate to think you and I are of like mind in anything, Isard, but the desire to see Krennel taken down seems to qualify. Rogue Squadron is at your disposal. Let's get started."
Corin Horn rested a hand on Gavin Darklighter's shoulder. He felt the younger man stiffen, so he gave Gavin's shoulder a squeeze and slowly lowered himself to a spot on a concussion missile storage crate.
"I hope you don't mind my sitting here, Gavin."
The younger pilot looked at him with red-rimmed eyes.
"I'd really rather be alone."
"I know you would, Gavin, which is why I'm sitting here."
Corin patted the man's knee. "I remember back when we were first on Coruscant, you came to me to ask about Aesir. And if things could work between you. You wanted some perspective then. And you need some perspective now."
"No, Corin. What I need now is grieving."
Corin brushed a hand across his face. "Understand this, Gavin. The pain you're feeling right now, it never really goes away. But in time, the amount it dominates your life will shrink. It will become a small part of the memories you will have of Aesir. And the good memories will dominate."
"Maybe it's a plan for the future."
Gavin shook his head slowly. "Admitting there's a future at all is the tough part right now. I heard enough that if there isn't one, it's all the same to me." A fearful bleating from Whistler and the droid's sudden arrival stopped Corin's response.
"What's the matter?"
Clattering after the droid came an Imperial tech with a welding rod. Gotta put a restraining bolt on him, all droids get him. Corrin shot to his feet. I can tell you where you can affix that restraining bolt, hot plus for brains. Back off, Captain Horn. Wedge Antilles entered the hangar area and headed toward the confrontation, drawing the rest of the squadron in his wake. Let's not make things any more complicated than they need to be. Corrin turned to Wedge. General, they want to put a restraining bolt on Whistler. Wedge nodded solemnly. I know. All our droids get them, even Gate. He held up a hand to forestall comment. The situation here is complicated, but it's working in our favor. We're going to be trained to fly these defenders, and then we'll be given a back door into Krennel's capital. We're dead right now, as far as Krennel is concerned, and if we can stay that way until we're ready to strike, he will fall. What that means, though, is that our droids have to be stored away for the time being. Corrin frowned. I don't like it. But if you say that's the way it has to be... Booster Terek looked up with a frown as he heard Yella's heels click against the Errant Venture's decking.
How are they?
Wes Jansen's in pretty bad shape. He's still in Bacta. Acer's in her last Bacta treatment now. Mirax is with her. Should be there for another 2 hours. Booster sighed.
No improvement in her memory?
Of the events at Disna? No. Everything else, including her last meeting with Thalia, concerning her relationship with Gavin, that's all fine. Yella shrugged. She's not going to be very helpful in letting us know what happened at Disna. But when we figure it out and go after the folks responsible, she'll be ready to go with us. Whistler's lights popped on, and the little R2 droid began surveying the room in which he found himself. The scan revealed a fairly large system of air ductwork behind the walls. The room had only one door, and he found no thermal bleed-through from any living creature standing on guard. This data filtered into a simple program that assessed his situation. Corrin had managed to communicate with him via comlink, and gave Whistler access to the scramble codes the Imperials used, as well as a way to tap the comm traffic. Corrin had also informed him of the rogue's status. The circumstances they found themselves in were indeed alarming. Whistler's awareness of this fact was based on his analysis of Corrin's speech patterns and the signs of stress in his voice. He catalogued those signs of anxiety along with the key words that seemed to trigger them. Isarg? Status alive. Imperial base? Secret. Tie defenders? Secret. And mission? Secret. Dangerous. A line of code called up Whistler's evasion and escape programming. Such programming was not common in an astromech droid, but few astromech droids had been refitted for work in the Corellian Security Force. This special refitting had even shifted internal components around, such that when a restraining bolt was fastened to him, it did little more than communicate the result of commands sent by a remote. When the Imperial tech had used the remote on him, Whistler feigned shutting down and starting up again. Whistler allowed himself a low, barely audible whistle. Whirling his head about, he spotted Gate and rolled over to the red and white R5 astromech. Whistler reached out with his pincer arm, sent a blue trickle of energy over the restraining bolt on Gate's torso, then pulled it free. Gate's lights flashed on, and Whistler quickly answered the taller droid's inquiries about location and status. Whistler reassured him that the mission they were being sent on had official sanction. He also informed Gate of the highly risky nature of their mission with a low tone. Gate countered sharply that they were droids who had been entrusted with a mission, and they would accomplish it. Whistler hooted happily and rolled over to the large air intake vent mounted in the wall. Gate joined him, cutting the grate free. The astromech droids rolled into the ducts. Once it grew dark outside, they'd escaped the base and world to get Rogue Squadron the help it was sure to need. Wedge Antilles raked his fingers through his brown beard. He didn't think it made him look any different, but it changed the outline of his jaw enough to fuzz recognition, and combined with the prosthetic he'd wear to become Antar Rot again, it should enable him to get past any security screening Krennel put him through. Colonel Vessery looked over at him from across the holoprojector's spectre map of Kutrick. "Do you have any reservations about this plan?" Wedge shrugged. "Same as I have about every plan before it goes off. We get slipped into Kutrick as an Imperial unit looking for sanctuary. We fit in. Then I send you a message, and in 12 hours you show up with the commandos we'll need to break open the prison holding the Lusankya prisoners. At the same time, the New Republic shows up with a fleet that will pound Krennel and liberate Kutrick. A lot of things can go wrong there."
Vessery smiled.
"True enough. But most of them come in along the lines of command and control. Your flight missions are fairly straightforward. One flight will eliminate the shields over Kutrick, while the other neutralizes the defensive positions around the prison. Both units will then suppress ground defenses and air support."
Vessery looked over at the doorway as a silhouette filled it.
"Come in, Major. This is General Antilles."
He turned back to Wedge.
"Major Telek will be leading the commandos on the operation."
Wedge took in the slender man with a glance. His high cheekbones and sharp nose gave his face an angular cast.
"Glad to have you with us, Major."
"My pleasure, General. I would have preferred to be in on the planning from the start, but I was on Kominor, and have only recently returned. While I was there, I saw two acquaintances of yours, Mirax Terek and a Yellow Wesiri."
Wedge blinked.
"What were they doing on Kominor?"
"Following up the leads planted by Krennel's people to lure Rogue Squadron to Disna."
"Interesting."
Wedge scratched at his throat. He'd noticed that Telek had referred to Krennel's people and not Isard's clone as planting those clues. Either he didn't know or didn't feel he could pass that information on to Wedge.
Wedge expected no less in the way of security from Isard's people,
which was why the whole mention of Kominor struck him as odd. Telek smiled.
"Now, a Siri woman impressed me a great deal. She was in a difficult situation, and I managed to slip her a blaster, which she used to initiate her escape. Not but one out of a dozen people could have done what she did.
For as long as I've known her, she's been very good."
Wedge pasted a smile on his face. There was no way Telek would have mentioned his run to Kominor, his having helped Iella and Mirax, if Isard had not told him to do so. Hearing what he'd heard certainly put Wedge in Telek's debt, which would help inspire the sort of trust that would make the mission work more smoothly. "By the same token, I've just been told that Isard has a line on two friends of mine. If things do not go the way she wants them to go, Iella and Mirax could be killed, or worse." The sorry plight of the Lusankya prisoners had not escaped Wedge's mind.
Wedge straightened. "It strikes me that the only remaining part of the plan to put into place is for me to record a message for Admiral Akbar that will get him to bring a New Republic fleet. Then we can set about ending Delac Krennel's long reign."
Whistler dodged around workers stacking crates on binary load lifters and shot down the ramp from the World Hopper's cargo hold. The captain glanced in his direction but did nothing to stop him. Whistler had transferred credits to the captain's account in exchange for transport for Gate and himself to Oridine on the planet Brentile, and no further. He'd done his job. Whistler swiveled his head around, taking in a full view of the hangar area where the World Hopper had landed. He moved over to a communication station and inserted his probe into the appropriate jack. The messages to spacers system took a little while to retrieve the single message that had been sent to him while in transit, and the message itself consisted of nothing more than a room number at the Grand Oridine Hotel and a span of dates.
Finding the Grand Oridine Hotel did not present much of a problem for the droids, and they rolled down the hallway to room 1428. Whistler played out a series of tones meant to announce them, and looked up to find a dark-haired man standing in the doorway. The man stroked his goatee, then smiled slowly. "Well,
I knew Booster hadn't sent that message to me, but I didn't expect a droid, much less two.
Whistler turned his body around and projected a message identifying himself.
Talon Card squatted down to read it. Whistler. Yes, the droid partnered with Booster's son-in-law. Now, that's curious, since you've both been reported dead at Disna. What is it I can do for you?
Whistler spelled out his request.
Take you to Booster's errand venture? Booster Terek gave his daughter's shoulder a squeeze, then brought his arm up over her head and extended it to Talon Card.
You're looking smug, as always, Card.
I'm pleased to see you again, too, Booster.
Card reached out and took Mirax's hand in both of his.
But I actually came to see you. I would never intrude on your grief, Mirax. But I think I have some good news for you.
Card freed a hand and waved back at the blast boat's hatchway. Mirax heard a triumphant squeal, then tore her hand from Card's and ran up the gangway. Dropping to her knees, she wrapped her arms around Whistler's cylindrical body. She clung tightly to the droid, feeling the breeze caused by his dome spinning around. She eased her hug open, then sat back on her haunches. Whistler, you're okay. Another droid behind him hooted, and she smiled at him too.
Gate, you survived.
Card rested a hand on her shoulder.
Both of them are brimming with data, but a fair amount of operational secrecy is involved here. We might want to move to your father's office.
Good idea. Mirax stood and walked down the gangplank with Whistler.
The two droids, Booster, Card, and Mirax, crowded into Booster's small office. Booster slid the holoprojector plate on his desk toward the forward edge, and Whistler approached it with his data jack extended.
Yet, before he could plug himself in, a light on the projector's comlink console blinked, and Booster hit it.
Booster here! This better be good!
Iella's head and shoulders appeared above the device.
Very good, Booster. I just had a message from General Kraken. He wants us on Coruscant as fast as possible. He didn't say much, but I gather he has news about Wedge. I can't believe it, but I gather Wedge and the others might be alive.
Admiral Akbar led the way between two guards into General Kraken's office and into the totally secure briefing room beyond it. Aaron Kraken smiled and took his place at the head of the table.
Admiral, I believe you know these people. Yellow Siri was an investigator at the Selku trial. Mirax Terek, you've met. And this is her father, Booster. Okay, this is the situation,
Kraken said.
We have received a holotransmission from Wedge, and the Council has given us the go-ahead to run with the plan Wedge outlined in his message. We've not told them that the real Hisani Isard is alive. They've discovered Hisani Isard is supposedly working for Krennel, but they don't believe it, and we're not about to tell them she's a clone. The only source we have for the real Isard's survival is Whistler, which is good enough for me. News about Isard's survival can't leave this room. If she knows that we know she's alive, she'll vanish, and we'll never find her.
Kraken sighed.
Look, you're three of the shrewdest people in the galaxy, with access to intelligence resources I don't have. You're already in on the secret here, and expanding the circle of knowledge is not going to be a good thing. So, you're it. The game here is this. If Isard is offering us Krennel, it's because she's after something bigger. I want to know what it is, and I want to make sure she doesn't get it. That's your job. You have to figure it out and stop her.
Booster laughed.
Is that all?
Kraken snarled.
You have 2 weeks in which to do it, maybe less. If she discovers Whistler and Gate are gone, she may bolt.
Wedge Antilles looked around at the other 8 pilots gathered with him in the small briefing room.
I don't know how much time we'll have before someone is sent to look in on us, but we're clear for the moment. I know you've been briefed on the plan, and we've run some pretty good sims of it, but I'm sensing some anxiety.
Tell me what's going on.
Down in the front row, Gavin leaned forward.
I can't help but feel that Isard might just betray us to Krennel.
Corin nodded. I think we can all agree that she's going to backstab us somehow, right? Wedge saw everyone's head bob in agreement.
Okay, so now we have to figure out how she'll do it. Mindonos raised a hand.
Look, I don't have the same history with her that the rest of you do, but from all I've heard, I get the impression she's very pragmatic. This suggests to me that whatever she'll do to us, she'll do after we take Krennel down.
Wedge felt a chill run down his spine.
Or she'll do it before we take him down, but have it take effect after we've succeeded.
A knock at the door ended the discussion. Tycho admitted Colonel Vessery.
Just debriefing after a sim run, Colonel. We want to make some changes, a worst-case scenario thing. We want to see how bad it can get.
Vessery nodded.
Good idea, but you'll have to hurry. You'll be going into Q-Trick 2 days from now.
Thank you, Colonel. We'll be ready.
I'm sure you will.
Vessery hesitated.
I've enjoyed working with you all. I believe you have a saying for times like this. May the Force be with you.
I really do hope it is.
If you succeed, if we succeed, we can all go home again.
Popping out of hyperspace near Q-Trick, Wedge flipped the comm unit over to the Spaceport Authority channel he'd been given.
This is Colonel Anpar Rote with Requiem Squadron. We are 9 ships in total, and wish landing clearance.
Q-Trick Spaceport Authority here. Please initiate auto-landing program.
Wedge set his defender down and popped open the egress hatch. He stepped to the front of his fighter and saluted Krennel with his prosthetic right hand.
The Prince Admiral returned Wedge's salute. Colonel Rent, I'm pleased you have chosen to bring your squadron of defenders to me. You will be a great asset to the hegemony.
The modulator on Wedge's throat injected a buzz into his voice.
It is our pleasure to find the single man with the courage to keep the spark of the Empire alive.
Colonel Vessery entered the dimly lit briefing room. He started to sketch a salute. Neither Major Telic nor Isani Isard looked up at him. Isard leaned forward in her chair.
Major, I have allowed a message to reach Krennel that indicates that another New Republic attempt to reinforce Linade 3 is being made in 2 days. Krennel may even call in additional troops and ships. It will be a glorious battle, I believe.
Telic shrugged. We would not have time to watch much of it anyway.
No, indeed you wouldn't. So, it's just as well you won't be there. She laughed. In rushing out to destroy Krennel, Akbar has stripped the defenses from the greatest prize of all. Come with me, men. And in 6 hours we will be in a position of power that will make the New Republic tremble itself to pieces.
Corin Horn looked down at his Sabacc hand and stifled a smile. These guys from the hegemony must be the worst Sabacc players I've ever met. The stack of credit chips in front of him dwarfed the piles before the other 3 men playing.
My deal, I believe.
Corin gathered the cards, but before he could get them off the table, a siren began to blare.
What's going on?
A wizened older pilot shrugged.
Report to your ship.
He gestured at a holographic imaging station at the far end of the hangar.
If it's like before, the Prince Admiral will tell us what's going on.
They ran from the ready room and Corin split off to the right, where the whole Defender squadron had been assembled in the back of the hangar. He found the rest of the rogues already there. The only person he couldn't find was Wedge. The imaging station filled with bright light that resolved itself into the face of Prince Admiral Krennel.
Greetings, loyal warriors of the hegemony. I would apologize for summoning you so abruptly, but this is a call to war, and one I imagine you will relish. With one blow, we can end the tyranny of the New Republic and send their shattered forces scurrying home.
Corin glanced over at Tycho, then tapped the chronometer on his wrist. By my count, we've got a couple of hours yet before Isard's people and the New Republic get here. Any guesses? Tycho shook his head. Too soon for guesses.
Krennel smiled magnificently.
All squadrons will be getting their assignments. You will be on board your appointed ships as fast as possible, and then we will depart to fulfill our destiny.
Colonel Rote.
Colonel Laurier's voice echoed through the nearly empty hangar.
Why aren't your people in the air yet?
Wedge spun on his heel to face the hegemony officer.
My defenders are equipped with hyperdrive. We don't need to be loaded on the Reckoning or any other ship to reach our destination.
Laurier's face tightened into a scowl.
That is no excuse for you to still be here in the hangar.
Wedge held a hand up.
Perhaps we should be discussing this in an office, away from the troops.
The colonel nodded. Once the men were inside, Laurier perched himself on the desk and shook his head.
You have been given your orders, Colonel Rote, and I expect you to follow them.
Wedge nodded solemnly.
I am following orders, Colonel.
He tugged the gloved construct off his right hand, then flexed his fist.
What are you doing?
Laurier blinked with surprise.
What is going on here?
Wedge reached up and pulled the prosthetic off his face.
I'm Wedge Antilles.
The couple of seconds it took for Wedge's statement to blossom with all its import in Laurier's brain proved to be about a second longer than it took for Wedge to draw his blaster and shoot the hegemony officer. The blue stun bolt hit Laurier dead center in the chest, pitching him backward over the desk. Wedge stooped down, found a strong pulse in Laurier's neck, then yanked Laurier's right glove free of his hand. He slid it on and picked up Laurier's helmet.
I need a mask for a moment, so I'll keep this. Sleep well.
Donning the helmet, Wedge slipped from the office. He walked sedately over to the rest of the rogues, then waggled his fingers at them. Tycho looked surprised.
Things didn't go well?
Laurier developed a new sense of irony. He found my revelations stunning.
Wedge pointed to the defenders.
Get in. Get these things going. Fly in formation to the Southern Shield Projector Facility. We've got 10 minutes for incoming, and I want us ready to go.
The clone of Isane Isar did not realize she was a clone. She was possessed of all the original's memories, her entire life history, up to the point just prior to the Lusankia's escape from Imperial Center. Along with these memories came the original's attitudes, which included a healthy dose of skeptical contempt for things mystical, including the Force. Yet, despite those prejudices, something struck her as very wrong about the message she'd gotten from Krennel. He asked her to dispatch someone to find Colonel Laurier. She would have sent a subordinate, but she actually wanted to locate Laurier for herself. She reached the hangar in no time, called a tech over, and asked if he'd seen Laurier. The man pointed toward the closed door. She entered the office and took immediate notice of the ozone stink in the air, which, combined with Laurier's body lying on the floor, told her the man had been stunned with a blaster. She squatted down and batted one of Laurier's feet aside, then pulled a black glove from beneath it. The glove only had 2 fingers, and had been fitted with metal parts to make it appear to be a prosthetic replacement.
Colonel Rote.
If Rote's hand had not been genuine, then neither had he. This meant he and his group of defenders had been inserted into Kutrick.
But for what purpose? They could do no good on Kutrick, she reasoned, unless...
She slapped Laurier to wakefulness, then hauled him to his feet.
You're under my command now. You'll be flying for me.
For you? Why?
There is a military operation planned. It's coming here. They don't care about Krennel. They're after me and my prisoners. We'll have to see they end up very disappointed.
The primary monitor on Wedge's defender flashed brightly for a moment as image after image of ships filled the screen in rapid sequence. He caught a glimpse of a Mon Calamari cruiser on the scanner screen, then an Imperial Star Destroyer Mark II, which matched the Reckoning in firepower. After that came 3 Nebulon B frigates, a half dozen Corellian corvettes, and a couple of fast little freighters. That's pretty much the task force description I sent Admiral Akbar, and it would have been more than sufficient for taking on 2 of Krennel's capital ships, Reckoning and Binder.
The problem was that Krennel had called in Emperor's wisdom and decisive, giving the hegemony forces a hideous edge in firepower. Wedge shivered, then punched up the squadron frequency.
One flight. We take out the shield generator down there, then we go to the spaceport and heist a freighter big enough to get the prisoners out of here. Two flight. As planned, you neutralize prison defenses.
As ordered, lead. How do we take the prison? I didn't see Telex commandos or Vessery's fighters in the mix.
I don't know, Tycho. I hope they're just late. First things first, then we do whatever we have to do.
On it, lead. Two flight, on me. May the force be with all of us.